amongst the people tonight, live at Cumulus Nashville. Davey, it's great to see you.
It's a long time coming. It's good to be here. We started this in the throes of the pandemic, Will, and we thought I'd be back a little bit sooner than this. But hey, better late than never. We're here. We're ready to do it. And Nashville Soccer Club is back as well, back from the international break. New York Red Bulls, we've got that to preview here in a bit. But a lot going on, and listen, ready to do it. It's been a fun week. Ready to get to the soccer.
Lucas, how are you? Italy's looking good. Lucas is happy. It's a very calm, happy demeanor for Lucas with the Italians playing well. We're going to talk some Italy soccer.
Yeah.
Some Euro soccer. Mikey Dreamer on Twitch says ready for some Euro talk. So
let's
are
do
we,
it.
Mikey?
I've been in paradise over the last last week or so, even less
than a week.
Copa
too.
Yeah, the Copa America. Obviously, the Gold Cup is on the horizon, but this to me is soccer at its peak. You know, international soccer to me, I love club soccer. I watch it every week, but international soccer is multiple steps above club soccer as far as my interest. I think players' interest in a lot of cases. I think it brings out the best in players and cultures and so forth. I could go on for hours about it, but I've been in paradise. I've been like a little kid on Christmas morning every day, waking up for whatever the 8 a.m. Euro game is.
I love it. Three games again tomorrow. We will get to that as the show goes on. Ben Wright right now is in our Periscope chat saying nerds. Yep. Punishment fits the crime. Andy Simmons. We got the whole Speedway crew in here on Facebook. Andy going with the boomer platform.
Get off Facebook, Andy.
Says don't go full Shepherd in there, Davey. Okay.
Try my best.
So the whole crew's here. To talk some NSC tonight. We've got a fresh new transfer rumor to discuss, a Broadway Sports Media report from Ben Wright as well to add some clarity, some color to that conversation that we'll get to as the show goes on tonight. We've also got a game to talk about, something we've not had to discuss as much on the last two shows with New York Red Bulls coming up on Friday. My boyhood club in MLS. For obvious reasons, because it's where the greatest Premier League striker ever played, briefly, Thierry Henry. And then we've also got France and Germany getting done today. I thought this was funny. The last time France and Germany had played in a competitive match, Germany beat France 1-0 with a Mats Hummels goal. Today, in their next meeting,
2014 World Cup.
France beat Germany with a Mats Hummels own goal. Yeah, it's a heel turn. For Mats Hummels.
Pretty raw return there for Hummels, too. That's his first time back in the lineup in quite a bit, and, you know, not the way you want to see it go. Really nice tackle, though, that he had on Mbappe to stop the second one from taking place.
So, it was really nice.
Yeah.
Dustin Miller on Periscope says, hello, guys. Seen Lucas tweet while watching Buck, so I'm listening to both.
Love it.
Wow. That's good stuff right there. You should listen to this before you listen to that, whatever that is, because, you know.
Salty with Lucas. He'll hear about that one tomorrow.
Buck's not on the zone. I don't know what he does with his time, other than talking to us on the new 615 Sessions podcast that just dropped today.
Yeah, he'll probably pop in the chat here any minute.
Also, how great is it, Lucas, that you and I were the guests on 615 Day on the 615 Sessions podcast?
I never put that together.
Special.
I don't know who fell through for him to fall back on us, but it was fun. We talked about just the putrid, poisonous place that is Buck's Twitter mentions and a few other things.
Also, the plight of Tennessee baseball fans, which LSU thinks is a putrid, poisonous place. Anyway, we digress to a new transfer rumor for Nashville SC. And gentlemen, look, this is very kind of Nashville SC and kind of North American soccer media to give us two transfer rumors now and one international break. We were thinking going into this break, like, look, we've never had an international break of Nashville SC to do this show live and talk Nashville SC in a break. So the soccer gods kindly handed us Ake Loba once again. Reports are that Nashville SC is continuing to explore options as reported by Broadway Sports Media. The artist formerly known then as Speedway Soccer in December 2019. Ake Loba has long been a priority for the boys in gold. And now Broadway Sports can confirm that Nashville previously bid in the range of $5 to $7 million. And they are interested once again. Boys, your thoughts on Nashville reinvigorating their pursuit of a guy that's played a lot of soccer at a young age already in North America.
Well, I think if you're a fan at home, the thing you've got to take into consideration is this is basically at a minimum double the asking price, double the bid price that the club bid on Hani Mukhtar. So when you're talking DPs who are out there, players on the field, and the most expensive guys we've got around, Hani cost right around $3 million. Cadiz would be $2 million if purchased. And we're talking about a $6, $7 million purchase possibly in Ake Loba. The Estrada rumor from last week was right around $5 million that we had heard rumored. So the club is starting to get up into that more expensive territory, which we heard Ian Ayre say it on the radio. We saw him say it in person. Hey, this team's going to be in the top quarter of the league in payroll. This is how you get there, right? You get to the top quarter of the league in payroll by spending $6, $7, $8, $10 million on players. This is a step in the right direction. Now, we can talk about the player in general, Lucas. I know you've got some opinions on which guy you like more. But for me, it's interesting, and I think if you're a fan, you've got to be happy that we're being even linked with either one of these guys. It seems on the surface to me there's a little more smoke to the Loba stuff than the Estrada stuff. So that's where I'm coming at.
Yeah, you feel like that has more legs because that name's been kind of hovering around Nashville transfer rumors for a while now, even before MLS. But it's good to know that they are pursuing something. It seems as though they are pursuing something to shore up the attack, to put the ball into the back of the net more often. But I think if you're going to spend that kind of money, in a perfect world, I'd like for it to be maybe somebody with a little more high-profile production, I suppose, a little more consistent, at least in consistent goal-scoring form at the moment, which I don't know that you can say that right now about Ake Loba. You can probably say it more so about Estrada than you could about Loba.
I'd rather Nashville SC pay for potential rather than profile. I would rather this team get somebody at a younger age who they see the potential in, and obviously they've seen potential in quite some time, than if you're getting a guy just because he fits a profile, whether that means goals scored in the past in CONCACAF Champions League, goals in Liga MX, goals in MLS, goals in Europe for the Daniel Sturridge to Nashville SC crown. You're paying for the profile that doesn't match maybe the talent on the field. I think this is the happy medium between the two of a guy that has experience playing in North America, gives you a little bit of versatility along that front line. And Davey and I were talking about this before as well. I like that they're going back to a guy they obviously liked years ago, because if they liked him years ago and still like him now, obviously there's something that really fits with Ake Loba, Gary Smith, and Mike Jacobs.
Well, are you paying for profile, though, with a guy like Estrada? Just using him as an example, because this is the guy we were talking about a week ago. I mean, how high profile is a guy like Estrada? You know, I totally agree with you. Don't overpay for a guy right just to bring him over from Europe because fans will know who he is. You know, selfishly, would I love it if Mario Balotelli was a Nashville SC player? Oh, my God. It would make my life. But
that jersey day one.
Yeah, I would. But it wouldn't be exactly a smart business decision. That's why I don't make these decisions. But I don't know if you're paying for profile with Estrada. Maybe I don't know that just more goal scoring on your resume just means profile. I think it means something a bit more than that. You know, Yonder Cadiz isn't a guy that was exactly lining it up at Benfica, and he didn't come in and just start scoring at will in Nashville. I don't think that's too much of a coincidence.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Lucas. I think both of them have a lot of promise. We're talking about a 25-year-old in Estrada, a 23-year-old in Loba. I would say Estrada is probably one of the better players for Ecuador right now. So whereas Loba is really not in the picture for Ivory Coast. Now Ivory Coast is a bit more of a player in Africa, the African conference, than Ecuador is in South America currently. Though I think in World Cup qualifying, Ecuador is in third. So they're becoming a force themselves down there. So look, I think if you're the fan sitting at home, who's the right guy? I don't know that either of them is the right guy, right? I don't know that we can sit here with any certainty and say these two are slam dunks, absolutely going to do the job, going to become a player who you sell on, you pay six and you sell them for 12. I don't know that they're this guy, but I know this. There's not enough goals in the team. We talk about it week after week after week. If you thought Yonder Cadiz was the answer, to me, this is possibly a guy who's come to this continent, come to a similar league, Liga MX to MLS, at a big club, performed well. The goals per 90 might not be where you want to see him at. He's also played limited minutes with bit players, scored in the CONCACAF Champions League against an MLS side. So, look, there's something there, and I agree with Will. If you've been into a guy for 3 years almost now, it's that's a sign to me that something There's something there that you keep coming back to. And I think Mike Jacobs and Gary Smith have earned the benefit of the doubt to say, hey, what they're interested in makes sense.
Discussing interest in a new Nashville SC striker. Of course, if you missed last week's show, you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts under the Nashville Soccer Show. Marco Estrada was the name last week. Ake Loba is the name this week. You can interact with us as well on today's show on 104.5 The Zone TV, on Periscope, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Search 104.5 The Zone and find us there. Aaron Evans is hanging out on YouTube. Says, finally get to catch a live stream instead of listening a day or two later. Aaron, welcome to the live chat. Glad to have you here. Farsendor is back on Twitch saying that it was actually him that was making the Periscope comment earlier, and he didn't want his real name. So now he's back to Farsendor. Farsendor, great to see you. Look, this is where I wanted to kind of take this discussion as well, and I'm interested to get y'all's thoughts, and maybe this is a dumb question because scoring goals is going to obviously be the answer in whatever we want to see from a new Nashville SC striker. But I have a very pointed attribute that I want in a new Nashville SC striker, and I'm interested to hear y'all's thoughts as well. But whether it's Loba, whether it's Estrada, I think one thing is pretty clear from the Nashville SC camp at this point. Their ambition is to get somebody in this window that'll start on July 7th. I think that is clear at this point. And the timing of Randall Leal publicly becoming not a designated player and this interest beginning is very strategic from the club, because at the very least, the club is sending a message through the tentacles of the media that it has saying, look, that we are ambitious enough to compete this year and try to win this year. So let's start floating it out there that we have the interest in bringing in somebody. I'm not sure it's either of these two guys, whether it's Ake Loba or Marco Estrada, just with how quickly things pivoted from Estrada to Loba makes me think that the whispers are out there just to show that the club has some ambition to bring in somebody. But the profile of what this team is looking for you guys, what is the biggest attribute, one thing that you want in a new Nashville SC striker?
So the number one thing, and I'm going to maybe steal Lucas's idea here, I just want a pure finisher. I don't necessarily need the athleticism. I don't need the super speedy guy that Dombaji is. I don't need a guy like Sapong who could turn his back to goal and do all the work, strongest guy on the field. I want a tidy finisher who is going to take advantage of the chances. This team leads the league at XG. I think that's still the truth, right? Leads the league in expected goals. And somewhere around middle of the pack in goals scored. It's not good enough. Stick a fox in the box out there, a guy who gets the job done. Clearly, they've got to work well with the rest of the team. I'm not saying just everything else be damned. But a MLS starting caliber number nine, I just want a pure finisher who doesn't need 3, 4, 5 chances to bag a goal.
Yeah, I think you said it well. You know, Nashville has a few strikers that are just very good at one particular thing, right? You have the size in Yonder Cadiz. You have the speed in Dombaji. We've seen the finishing just isn't there on a consistent basis. Not only just a pure finisher, but a guy who can create for himself. And that is something I think we've seen from both of these strikers. I don't think that's a coincidence. That's one commonality that I found just in watching, going back watching, whether it's Liga MX or in the Ecuadorian league that Estrada played in. I mean, picking up the ball in midfield in a streaking, slaloming run into the box to create a chance for themselves rather than maybe what we've seen from a Yonder Cadiz. And, you know, he's been dynamic. He's moved around probably more than I anticipated when he first arrived in Nashville. But a guy that can make that type of run and create for himself, like we've seen Hani Mukhtar do a couple of times. So just somebody, I'll keep saying it, with a goal-scoring record, you know, that was my biggest concern with Yonder. When he was signed, and I'd have to look it up, I don't remember off the top of my head, maybe 2 goals in his time at Benfica, you know, it wasn't, and just somebody who's done it, somebody who you have seen the product, whatever the league, at a high rate, and a guy like Estrada at 5 goals and 13 appearances for the Ecuadorian national team, that's a small sample size, but that's a trend that I like. You know, I like that more than kind of putting your faith in something that hasn't been a proven product consistently. So, you know, to me, it's not only a finisher, but somebody who can create for themselves as well. But I do think you get elements of that with both of these guys.
Last thing for me, and then we'll head to break and get to our discussion with Ben Wright coming up here in a minute. I want versatility. This team has played 4-4-2. It's played 4-2-3-1. I want a guy that can play off the wing or be a second striker alongside Yonder Cadiz. Because the one constant we've heard about this move and about Nashville SC's roster building throughout this summer is this is not instead of Yonder Cadiz. This is in addition to Yonder Cadiz. Get a guy that can play with Yonder Cadiz. Whether that's on the wing, whether this becomes an Alex Wheel replacement when you need more skill on the field in the postseason, searching for goals late in games. I think that that would be a really big plus. You talk about value and getting the bang for your buck and spending this much money. Get me a guy that can play two positions, that can fulfill a couple of different roles. That's when I think you get the value and can get the return on a rather large investment that this club is obviously willing to make through this summer. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we will talk to the man who had the report on Broadway Sports Media. Ben Wright will join us. Is Ake Loba the move with the most smoke at this point? And could NSC make any other moves at other positions? We'll ask Ben about that. With you until 10 o'clock tonight. It's the Nashville Soccer Show, and it's 104.5 The Zone. By Ben Wright of Broadway Sports Media, who is here to yell at me for my love of Kieran Tierney, who picked up a knock in training, Ben. He might not even play now for Scotland. What's going on?
So he can't be the best left back at the Euros now?
I mean, he still could be, I guess, if he plays.
I mean, there's no question the importance that he has for Scotland.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's not, actually, he's not the best left back of the Euros because he doesn't play left back for Scotland. He plays center back.
He's definitely the best Scottish left back alive.
That's true. I'm with it.
Oh, that's a take. Andy Robertson has some issues with you.
I'm kidding. I'm being sarcastic. Ben, before we get to the transfer rumors, and we've talked a little bit already about Ake Loba, about Michael Estrada. I said Marco earlier. That was definitely like a pitcher. No, that was like a backup catcher, like in the early 2000s, I think. I'm watching baseball. I'm thinking about baseball all the time, whatever. Before we get to the transfer rumors, though, Ben, Nashville SC season ticket sales, those prices become public this week. What were your initial takeaways on when those went live and how that process is going to work? Because I think it's really surprising and pretty exciting for a lot of fans that maybe might be on the fence how cheap these tickets are.
Yeah, I mean, I was just initially impressed that they kept the price point that low. It feels like they've talked a lot about wanting to let it be accessible for everybody. And unfortunately, it feels like for a lot of teams, that's just kind of talk. And it's nice to see them backing it up. I mean, $18 a game in the supporter section as kind of the lowest price point. I think that's very reasonable. I mean, and I don't think the rest of the stadium is overpriced either. I think it makes sense. And it's good to see them not just assuming that people are going to show up just because of the product they're putting on the field, but really trying to make it accessible to people and really trying to fill out this stadium, which they obviously are pretty ambitious to try to and put the biggest soccer specific stadium in North America here in Nashville. And it's nice to see them try to fill that.
So Ben, let's get to the transfer news. Two different Nashville soccer shows and now two different strikers to talk about. What can you tell us about Nashville SC's pursuit of Ake Loba? Where does Michael Estrada fit in there? Which of these do you think is the stronger target for Nashville SC at this point?
Yeah, so I heard you earlier in the earlier segment say that they kind of pivoted from Estrada really quickly to Loba, and I'm not sure that's the case. I kind of think they have their eyes on a number of different targets and are probably in negotiations with a bunch of different targets that they think would work in Nashville. And I think they're probably just kind of seeing how those play out. Estrada, it seems like, is complicated because Boca is in for him, and obviously they're a pretty heavy hitter in South America. It honestly feels like that could have echoes of Ake Loba back when they were first interested in him last December. Nashville and Cruz Azul in Mexico seemed like they were the two in for him, and then kind of late in those negotiations, Monterrey swooped in and just they have more money than pretty much anybody in Mexico. So it might be a similar situation with Estrada. I don't know if either of them will end up panning out and coming to Nashville, but I think what's clear is that Nashville have their eye on a number of different striker targets, I think probably within a similar profile to both of those guys, but they're looking to bring one of those guys in quickly as a complementary piece to Yonder Cadiz.
Ben, you're probably about as high on Daniel Rios as anybody around. What does this mean for a guy like him who hasn't got a minute yet because of injury, or maybe even a guy like Dom Baji, who aren't necessarily in the top two, three right now at the position for Gary Smith? Where does a new signing point those guys towards? Is it out the door? Is it just no minutes? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if I would. I don't think it has probably as much effect as it on a guy like Daniel Rios as it does to Dom Baji. They obviously gave Rios a contract extension in the offseason and seem like they're pretty high on him. I think right now, CJ Sapong has been healthy and kind of keeping him out of the team. But, I mean, let's face it, Sapong, as good as he is, his years in MLS are limited. He's probably not going to play more than 3-4 years at the top level, if that. So I think signing a guy like Estrada, Loba, whoever, would kind of more be in that range. He'd probably keep Rios out of the team temporarily, but I think Rios is a guy who they like off the bench. As far as Baji, I think his biggest attributes have been his pace and his willingness just to run for 90 minutes. He's been probably the best pressing forward they have. And I think both Estrada and Loba kind of fit that. They're both much faster than Cadiz. They're much more mobile. And I think they kind of, they're obviously not the exact same player as Baji, but I think they kind of fit more into that profile.
So interesting, you talk about when it comes to Estrada and Loba complimenting Yonder Cadiz. Do you get the sense there is a commitment to Yonder Cadiz, you know, past his option to buy? And then secondly, with that, just between those guys, because that's just kind of the discussion today. Like, is it kindergarten thinking of me to say, okay, I want the guy Boca Juniors wants? You know, like, which of those two guys has the most instant impact for this team? Because I really do think it's Estrada, and I don't know that I like falling back on a guy you've been looking at for 3 years when you could go out and get the guy that Boca Juniors wants.
A part of it is they're just really familiar with him. They've been scouting him since at least when he was in Peru, and potentially since before that when he was still in the Ivory Coast. So he's obviously been a pretty long-term target, and I think they feel like they're pretty familiar with him. But I mean, Estrada, he's been putting up some pretty sneaky good numbers. I actually looked at him compared to other DP strikers in MLS before they got to the league, and he has the fourth best goal or assist per game numbers. So I mean, I think he's been pretty consistently productive at a high level. I mean, not for one of the top teams in Mexico, but at a pretty solid league. You're seeing him now kind of starting to play a bigger role for Ecuador, who are one of the early surprises in South American World Cup qualifying. But I think Loba, he's probably a more, just from a monetary perspective, just a more high value target, who, he's only 23, has some sell on value. I think either one would come in and pretty much be an instant improvement and instantly improve this team. And I think, like I said earlier, if it's not one of those two guys, I think just the names that they're being linked to gives us a pretty clear idea of the kind of player that Nashville is looking for.
And you still see it as a compliment to Yonder Cadiz, despite the fact that they could ship him back to Portugal.
I don't know if that's going to mean exercising his purchase option or extending his loan, but it seems like they at least want him through the end of the season. And I think, I mean, I know Cadiz has kind of split opinion a bit, and I don't think he's the pure finisher that Nashville needs, but I do think he's a good complementary piece. I think you've seen how much better a guy like Hani Mukhtar is when Cadiz is on the field. I think when they've played a 4-4-2, I think you just see how he opens up space for other players. And I think he's a big target forward who can hold up really well if he has players running off of him. And I think either Estrada or Loba would do that for sure.
Ben, when a guy like Ake Loba is in the lineup, you just said it. Yonder Cadiz is going to come in. He's going to do what he does. He's going to hold the ball up well. But what about CJ Sapong? Because we were just talking about that. He's maybe been the better player, the best surprise for Nashville SC so far. Is this maybe a little bit harsh on a guy like CJ Sapong to not get the amount of time that we've seen other forwards get to be the guy for Nashville SC, or is just age the determinant there?
I mean, I think age is a determinant in just long term, because Nashville aren't going to put their long term plans on hold just because they have a over 30 Sapong playing really well. That might mean that he fights his way into the lineup and keeps these guys out for a while. But I don't think just because Sapong's playing well means that Nashville is just going to hold off on signing a long-term, high-value designated player option. But yeah, at the same time, I don't think Sapong's going away. I think he'll still be an important player on the team. And I mean, if there's one thing we've seen, kind of between last season and this season, it's that Gary Smith really likes having options. So I wouldn't have necessarily thought that signing a DP striker would be the first position they go after in this window. And who knows, it might not end up being, they might sign someone else, but I think we're clearly seeing that Gary really likes having a number of options up top and a number of different types of options that give him kind of different looks.
Well, Ben, and that kind of leads me to what I was going to ask you about, and we're on with Ben Wright of Broadway Sports Media here tonight at the Nashville Soccer Show. If you're having to take these two guys, Estrada and Loba, or the field, for who you think Nashville SC is going to make its next designated player this summer, which one are you putting your money on?
So either one of these two or someone else?
Yes.
I'm going to go with one of these two. I mean, there's a ton of smoke coming out of Mexico around Loba. They've been in on him for a long time. I mean, even last summer when he got to Monterrey and wasn't playing a ton, there was still interest from Nashville if Monterrey would make him available. And then Tom Bogert was the one who broke the Michael Estrada news, right. And he's about as reliable as it gets within MLS. So I think both of those, the interest from Nashville SC is very much legitimate.
Ben, the last thing for me on the transfer stuff, and we'll get into New York Red Bulls as well here in a second and talk some Euros as well. Is striker the right position for Nashville SC to spend money on? Because whether or not it is an efficient depth chart, obviously we know the problems that Nashville SC has had in finishing chances. That's a different discussion. But looking at other depth charts on this roster, I almost think that central midfield becomes a much bigger need. With the age and with the amount of miles that Dax McCarty and Anibal Godoy have already run this season, is there a chance that Nashville makes a move to solidify a different position? And is striker the right choice for Nashville SC's next designated player?
Well, first off, I don't think it's necessarily an either or. I think they can sign a DP striker and bring in a midfielder, which I think they absolutely need long term, like you said. But I think the more pressing need is finishing chances. I think we've seen just the missed chances that they've had this year, and even scoring an additional goal or two would be 4 points more on the table. And I think they can't afford to keep missing those types of chances throughout the rest of the season. So I think if you're looking to win now, striker makes sense. I think also, I know he's been hurt, but Brian Anunga, they're very high on, and I think he is probably a starting caliber midfielder, more of a defensive midfielder, but I think he's going to grow into a starting caliber player. And I think in the short term, Matt LaGrassa has really impressed in his last couple games for sure, as a more forward thinking, creative midfielder. And so I think that's maybe lessened the urgency to some extent to get more of the box to box, more attack minded midfielder. But I think at some point they're still going to have to look to that just with the age of Dax McCarty and Amal Godoy.
Ben, it feels like forever since we saw Nashville SC play, and now a long road trip to New York, a team that last time the Red Bulls played, a 2-1 win over Orlando City. What kind of matchup should we expect going in, especially considering who Nashville will be missing on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I think New York is always a difficult place to go and play. I don't know off the top of my head what the stadium restrictions are going to be, but I mean, when it's a full stadium, it's one of the best atmospheres in the league. And then just the pressing style that they play with, even throughout managerial changes, they've still kind of stuck to that. So I think it's going to be a test for Nashville that we haven't really seen yet this season, where they're going to be under constant pressure. Dave Romney, Walker's, I mean, whoever's playing in the back, they're going to have to be really careful with their passes. I mean, you saw against Mexico, Mark McKenzie was kind of pressed into a mistake, and it's obviously a different level, a different game, but that's going to be the type of thing that Nashville really has to avoid. But if they can play through that, there is plenty of space in behind New York that I think they can get into. So, I mean, honestly, I know Jhonder Cadiz won't be there, but I think this could be an interesting game for a guy like Dom Baji, who will be able to run with New York. They're not going to be able to tire him. And I think he has the pace to get in behind if Nashville is able to play out of that press, and could cause them some problems.
Ben, Red Bulls sitting level with Nashville on 7 points, 4 losses, though. So teams have been able to go out there and kind of get after them a little bit. You expect the 4-4-2 coming up this weekend for Nashville SC?
I don't know. And I don't know if it matters that much, honestly, because I think whatever system they're playing in, I think it's still the same fundamental the fundamental principles and kind of building blocks either way. I think playing in a 4-2-3-1 or whatever you want to call it, I think it lets Mukhtar get on the field earlier, which I think they've absolutely needed. And I think as frustrating as kind of his production in front of goal has been, I think there's not really an argument that he's the best player on this roster at playing out of tight spaces.
Yeah.
And I think against New York, when he's going to be under constant pressure, that's what you need from your 10. And I think he can relieve a lot of pressure for Nashville and kind of open up space in ways that no one else on the field can. So I would lean towards whatever formation you're playing in, getting him on the field in a central area from the start.
And Ben, walk us through too the guys Nashville SC will be missing on Friday, because I know there's a lot of different international windows and guys playing in different places. Who is available? Who's not available for this team coming up this weekend that we know of right now?
Yeah, well, so Yonder Cadiz is definitely out. He's on international duty with Venezuela,
and they've had COVID.
Well, I want to be careful with that.
He would have tested positive in the second sample, didn't come back in.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing been actually verified. So, I mean, I want to be careful just because I think he was initially one of the names that was thrown around to be potentially have contracted COVID. And then it came out that he might have had a false positive. The second one came back negative. And whatever it is, he's been in isolation and hasn't been involved. And Venezuela has not been really putting out names. Understandably so. So there's not a ton of info to go on. I think if he's in the lineup in their next Copa America game, I think that'll tell a lot. But either way, he's with Venezuela. He won't be available. Alistair Johnston is currently playing as we're recording against Haiti in a World Cup qualifier.
By the way, I saw that own goal. Oh my God!
Really brutal.
Offensive.
Everybody here saw it.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Whoever
and it's going to knock them. It effectively knocked him out of the World Cup too. Yeah. So
just ruthless.
Terrible mistake, so but you have to feel bad for the goalie.
Have to feel bad for the guy.
But Johnston hasn't left the U.S. because Canada can't play in Canada right now. So they're currently playing in the U.S. I believe they actually played the first leg in Haiti. But either way, he's back in the U.S. He should be available. Godoy, he played earlier today. In Panama's World Cup qualifying win. He'll have to get back into the country, but assuming that that the quarantine restrictions have been eased, he'll at least be in the country in Nashville. No, they played away. Okay. They played the home leg first. But he'll be back before the game. I don't know if he'll be out of the quarantine process or they'll fit and ready to play, but those guys should theoretically be available. So the only one you should be missing is Cadiz.
Ben, last NSC question for me before we talk a little bit of Euros before we let you go tonight. How much does Nashville SC try to rotate a little bit, even the guys that are coming back from international duty, and Alistair Johnston and Anibal Godoy, knowing as well that you got to come back home and play Toronto next Wednesday?
I mean, I think they're used to playing two times a week just from last year.
Sure.
So I think I wouldn't bet on Gary Smith kind of keeping a similar lineup. I think you also have more depth though. You brought in a guy like Dylan Nealis for a decent chunk of allocation money.
Right.
He was a starting quality right back in Miami last year. So I think he gives you the option to maybe rest Alistair Johnston. I think Godoy is trickier, which is tough because he's older and he'll be having the more difficult travel to get back, but there's just not really an obvious replacement for him, especially on the form that he's been in. So I would expect that if he comes back and they think he's ready to go, I think you see him in the lineup and probably again against Toronto, just how important he is to this team.
All right, Ben, your biggest takeaway so far from the Euros, besides the fact that I have Wales in the final four and that that already is not looking too great for me.
I was really high on England, and I'm not so high on England after seeing them against Croatia.
Let's go, baby. It's my three Lions.
Great. They looked absolutely great for the first 20 minutes, and then it just looked like they ran out of gas and ran out of ideas against a Croatia team that's pretty old and hasn't really changed anything for the last 3 years. So, obviously they have talent.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that he started a right back at left back and then left his best midfielder out of the lineup?
I thought you were going to say
that. Would that have influenced anything at all for Gareth Southgate's boys?
If you want to talk about the best left back in the Premier League, he left Luke Shaw out of the starting
lineup. Oh, I agree completely. Here we go. Here we go.
All right, let's not do
this. I know you probably think it's the same thing as Greg Berhalter, but I honestly think Gareth Southgate's done a pretty good job turning. I mean, if you look at it historically, England has always had plenty of talent, and they've never been a cohesive team. And I think in the 2018 World Cup, he turned
a bunch of talented kids into a cohesive team. How about their average
man of the match being a Leeds guy, too? Calvin Phillips was incredible.
He did have a fantastic performance.
He was fantastic.
But the same thing I said about Paul Gbur earlier, playing next to Konte is great. Playing next to Declan Rice makes players better, and he put in a hell of a performance for England the other day. He was great, and Phillips was tremendous, but you got to get Grealish. You're struggling for goals. Get Grealish on the field.
Oh, I know.
I thought Sterling was very dynamic.
But Kai Osaka, too. Just on the,
I'm done. Get him out of here.
I think England will be fine. I think they'll probably make it to the quarters.
They're not going
to I was telling Lucas before we got on, though, I think – I've been most impressed with Italy and then Belgium. I think Belgium didn't even look like they got out of third gear against Russia and still won 3-0. I mean, obviously Lukaku scored 2 goals and he was clearly distracted by Christian Eriksen.
One of his good friends,
So Hazard looked good. Understandably so.
Hazard was sharp too.
No, absolutely. But I think they just didn't really even have to try. And I think once you see them playing, it's a better team and kind of firing on all cylinders and just kind of playing. Not even to their potential, but at a more like urgent level, I think Belgium is going to be absolutely scary.
Or will it be kind of a different effect? Maybe they were a little bit flat, not getting into third gear, still winning 3-0 over a very below average Russia team, and then kind of get hit in the mouth a bit against a more high energy opponent. And I don't know that I buy Eden Hazard coming into this tournament after poor form all season with Real Madrid and just finding his groove. I don't know. I'm not convinced yet by Belgium, Ben, other than Lukaku, who is my pick to win Golden Boot. That's been a pretty good start.
I mean, I don't know. I think I'm a big believer that you can only beat the team in front of you. And so I think they cruise to a 3-0 victory against Russia, who, whatever you want to say, they're not an easy team to play against. But I don't think they need Hazard, really, like, at all. I think they'd be okay if he wasn't even in the team. That's just how deep they are. So I think I'm not worried by the fact that he's not playing like whenever he was at Chelsea. I think they can live without it.
Italy. That's a great point.
Once they get De Bruyne back, I mean, they're missing maybe the best midfielder in the world. So I think if they get him back, it's going to be
in the group stage.
I heard potentially for their next game against Denmark.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. You want to see that guy like that on the field. Unfortunately he was injured in a dramatic defeat to a Chelsea Football Club. So
Rudiger is just playing destroyer on people, right?
I love it. I love it right now. He was magnificent.
That game was fun.
That was a fun game.
Broke De Bruyne's face, bit Paul Pogba.
I was a bit disappointed in France, to be honest with you. I think France, I needed more from them. They maybe could have scored a few more goals. Germany, I think, looked about as lost as I expected them to look.
I completely disagree.
I think Deschamps finds a way to make the most talented team on the earth look like 98 DC United or something.
For being such a big proponent of defensive play, how can you complain when they play good defensive soccer? Make it to finals.
That's not what I'm saying. I think they get the job done. Today, I just thought they looked just okay. I think the opposite of Belgium. I think Belgium's actually not that great, and I think Martinez is a terrible manager. I think Deschamps gets results. But I don't love watching it all the time. And I really like a few of those players. I really like Griezmann. I really like Mbappe. I don't think they're nearly as fun to watch for their country as they are for their club. Well, opposite with Pogba. Pogba's a lot of fun to watch with his country.
I don't feel like we have enough time for me to tell you all the reasons why I disagree with what you just said. But I think
Greg Berhalter for France manager.
I think, coming up. To be fair, Germany, I think, are... despite how much they've struggled, they're still one of the most talented teams in the world. They do have a pretty cohesive identity under Low. So I think a lot of teams are going to struggle to play against them.
Gnabry's a beast, too.
Yeah, he's
really incredible.
I mean, he's really good.
It's also important not to put too much emphasis in what happens here in the group stage over the next week or so. You know, Portugal, 2016, drew all three group stage matches, finished one of the third-place qualifiers for the knockout round, and they won the whole thing. So... I do think sometimes we buy too much into what a team did.
It's fair.
In the early onset. As good as Italy looked, I'm going to wait for them to get into the knockout stage before my confidence really starts to rise.
And France have never really looked that pretty under Deschamps, and they've made it to a Euro final and won the World Cup. I don't think you have any complaints, and I think they'll probably do that again.
I think so. I've got them winning it again. I just I expected more of them out of them today against Germany, personally, but we'll see.
Ben Wright has been our guest here on the Nashville Soccer Show. We touched it all. Ticket prices, transfer rumors, game preview, Euros, Davey going full Shepherd, which is allegedly happening at this point.
I blame it on the kid now, man. I got an eternal excuse.
You have an excuse now.
I got an excuse now.
Ben, we always appreciate the time, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. This is always fun.
All right, when we come back, we got a lot of comments to get to on 104.5 The Zone TV. We're going to catch up on some of those. Plus, look ahead to some of the matches coming up in Euro 2020 that is happening in 2021. We'll do that next on the Nashville Soccer Show that's happening in 2021 right here on 104.5 The Zone. Back at it with you for one final segment of the Nashville Soccer Show on 104.5 The Zone. There we go. Look, I'm just going to exit the Zoom now. We're all here now in the building. We're in the building. Ron Slay, Will Bowling, 2021. Lucas Panzeca, Davey Shepherd with me. If you missed any part of the conversation tonight, you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts, Nashville Soccer Show. We are also on the Speedway Soccer feed, wherever you listen to podcasts every single Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. Don't know how, obviously, the NSC schedule being midweek might change things. Like, obviously, next week it won't, because next week it's a Wednesday night. But lots going on. Lots of college baseball going on. We'll let you know if there are any oddities to what we are doing in this realm and at other games coming up in the next couple of weeks. One thing we are doing always is telling you about Fat Bottom Brewery. It is 615 day today, Davey. We love people that are Nashville made, that are Nashville branded. And Fat Bottom Brewery is a Nashville beer for Nashville soccer fans. It is a perfect night to crack open a Ruby Red Ale to celebrate the city here on June the 15th.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Nashville people, Nashville beer, you're spot on. Look, we've been telling you for a few weeks now. Post your picture, hashtag Fat Bottom Football. You win a soccer ball, you win a beer, you win whatever the giveaway might be. Pair of tickets to a game. This is the one where you need to do it, okay? Fat Bottom Football is putting their money where their mouth is. They talk about being the beer for the fans. And they're going to send two fans, you and a friend of your choice, to the city of Miami with tickets for the game, your trip, your stay paid for. And all you've got to do is post a picture with one of their beers, hashtag Fat Bottom Football. Got to be a real picture on Instagram or Facebook. Not a story, like a real legit picture.
Okay.
Stay up there, and you are entered to win that opportunity. Going to be announced in the month of July, about a month out from the game in August, so you'll have plenty of time to plan the trip. But, hey, what other brands around town are doing that? Nobody is. Fat Bottom's doing it. They take care of us. They'll take care of you guys. Get you to that game. And Miami, that's going to be a fun away trip. Make sure you are entered for a chance to win it over at Fat Bottom Football.
We've told you guys a lot about our investment in Nashville SC, as well as 104.5 The Zone's investment in Nashville SC, and having us on weekly, having a Speedway Soccer, obviously a part of the 104.5 The Zone podcast network. This is a big investment by Fat Bottom Brewery for soccer fans of Nashville SC. So certainly want to get in on that. And more stuff coming. We want to have a really fun partnership with Fat Bottom throughout the season. So stay tuned for the stuff we've got coming up with them. In addition to some fun away games and some fun Euro watch parties that will be coming up over the next couple of weeks. Lucas, I want two numbers from you. First, I want, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident you feel in your Italian national team. And then I want your nervousness on a scale of 1 to 10 of, at this point in Euro 2020, that is happening in 2021, how nervous you are about this team.
Scale of 1 to 10 on confidence, right now it's about an 8. I mean, it's
okay.
just based on how the team has played, not just over the last couple months, guys.
Yeah.
Since they did not qualify, Italy has not lost since 2018. They have not lost a match, friendly or qualifying or otherwise, since 2018. So, you know, I don't think I have any choice but to have high confidence in that
Absolutely.
Regard. In terms of nervousness, to not win the whole thing, you know, I guess it'd be a 4 out of 10, 5 out of 10. You know, I'm not going to be devastated if France wins this tournament, because France has the best roster in this tournament. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a thing where all the expectations are piled on and Italy is the front-running favorite. You know, they are people in soccer circles like ours kind of recognize that they are a contender to win this thing, but maybe the average person doesn't quite see it because they look at the names across the board. Ciro Immobile doesn't move the needle for a lot of people as a number 9, and that's okay, despite the fact that he has scored at crazy levels for Lazio, rather. He hasn't done it consistently for the national team. And that's fine, but this team doesn't win tournaments when it's the favorite. It never has. In 2006, Italy was just pretty average. Italy drew with the U.S. that year in the group stage in 06,
right.
A U.S. team that really had no business making it out of the group. They didn't
group
make it out of the group.
Daniel Rossi should have got the red card.
That group was crazy.
So this is typical for Italy. They like being a bit undervalued. Look, the confidence is sky high right now, you know, and I think tomorrow with 3 points against Switzerland, they can sit back for a bit. 6 points obviously gets you through with the situation with the way the groups are laid out. So very confident right now, guys.
That's another decent, like, kind of sneaky good team is Switzerland. Switzerland is one of those. Turkey is another one.
Yeah,
watching Turkey today, I was like, "Yo, they."
I got Turkey on a deep run, actually.
So did Ben.
Yeah,
I liked Turkey to get out of this group. Switzerland really, I thought, was disappointing against Wales, just in the way they kind of took the foot off the gas.
Wales isn't bad either.
No, but no,
there's some decent teams.
Like, but Aaron Ramsey steps up for Wales. Like, Aaron Ramsey is still 2012 Arsenal Aaron Ramsey.
Speaking of Wales, Lucas, where are we watching Italy-Wales on? Are we going to Fat Bottom for the game?
We can go anywhere, man. We got 11 a.m. Italy-Wales, 1 p.m. Tennessee baseball in the College World Series. It's going to be a day.
Let's call it Fat Bottom. That's going to be our watch party of the week. Fat Bottom to your headquarters for Euros every weekend. 11 and the 3 o'clock games are going to be on TVs there. The Speedway Soccer crew will be in the house for Italy v. Wales. Sunday at 11.
Well, we'll see how intriguing that matchup is, especially if Italy does get the 3 points tomorrow against Switzerland and is able to sit back a bit. Though that will be a high-stakes game for Wales, I anticipate, unless they're able to get a win. They'd be a little more comfortable if they got a win against Turkey, which could be a sneaky good matchup. But
Portugal-Germany Saturday is going to be a spicy
yes.
one, too. That'll be a really good game.
Yeah, it is. Who was the other team in that group in 06? Italy, Czech Republic, United
Ghana.
States,
Ghana.
And in 06?
Yes.
Yeah,
Clint Dempsey scored against
10.
Ghana. Yep. Yeah.
I thought it was 10 and then 14 that they played Ghana.
No, 06. That goes back to
2010 was the group stage, and then 2014 was the John Brooks header.
No, 2010 was when they lost to Ghana in extra time.
In the knockout
time.
Stage.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying. Right.
That was the
knockout
three
stage.
Three World Cups in a row.
Mm-hmm. So they okay.
Group stage, knockout, group stage.
I just remember that's when I got into soccer was the 06 World Cup because Wes went to – he was in Berlin during the 06 World Cup. And, like, rioted with French fans, like, yelling, Allele Blue, like, on top of cars. Like, I don't think Wes was on top of cars, but he was there watching.
Love to see that.
It was great. I still have, like, a Zidane jersey that he brought me back. I need to find that.
Picks to win the Euros right now as we're about 5 days in.
Italy.
Yeah, I picked France at the start. I'm going to stick with it. Like you said, Lucas, I think they've got the best roster. Now, look, I'll say this. If anybody other than France makes it to the final against Italy, I think you've got to say Italy is the prohibitive favorite at that point. Maybe England excluded. But
also in Wembley.
Yeah, it's in Wembley. So
I don't know if that helps England. As much pressure would be on them.
If Italy makes a semifinal, they host it in Rome.
Right.
So, which is a pretty big deal as well. So,
I don't think England playing in Wembley helps them.
We'll see Friday.
With the England, way that
Scotland.
Fan base is. Oh, man. We love it. Also, something to keep an eye on, and we'll talk about this as it gets closer. Next U.S. soccer match for the men, July 11th, group stage of the Gold Cup. One thing we didn't get to tonight was the win over Costa Rica last week for U.S. Daryl DK. Gets on the field, thought he was terrific. Brendan Aaronson, that dude,
tremendous.
That dude has a future in the midfield of U.S. soccer. But Lucas is playing the music, so I've got to shut up. Andy, Davey, great to see you.
Andy Simmons says, did Will Bowling have a bingo card to name every Arsenal player in the tournament? That's what he said in the chat.
Aaron Ramsey isn't an Arsenal player, Andy. He's a Juventus player. That's a demerit, as they'd say on
Jay
Martin.
He didn't say every former Arsenal player.
That's fair. All right. This was a former show. And you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts in about 5 minutes. Take care.